All right, part two of our week one preview odyssey. Robbie, we're not going to get 10 Big 12 games that often. It's going to be a pretty rare occasion here. Once again, Josh Neighbors here, Robbie Triano over there of SiriusXM. We are apart. Normally, well, I guess normally we had about what, Robbie, 2 months of being together in studio?
Yep.
It was, yeah, it was January, February, and then a little bit of March. But you are back in the studios. I hope to join you soon.
Of course.
But do you feel the electricity coming? Just is this preview helping you get psyched? Is the show, do you feel every single day like the momentum just building?
Yes, because last year covering college football and doing the show was awful. Yes, football was played, but every Friday it's just, you know, you're just waiting, scrolling, refreshing Twitter. Oh, Baylor can't play today. Sorry, COVID, games postponed. And it's just like, it was hard for me to get fully into the college football year last year just because I was worried every single week that a game wouldn't be played. And it's just, you look in the stands and there's no one there. Obviously, the Delta variant is still there. This is not a Delta variant. This is not Locked On DV. This is not that type of show. But I'm excited to see fans in stands. I'm excited to have the electricity of college football back. Will games get canceled? I sure hope not. But I feel like we're in a much better place than we are knowing what exactly is happening. And I can actually be excited to see a full slate of games and not be worried what is going on. So, yes.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I'm so excited as a lifelong Virginia Tech fan. You know, you and I will finish the show. I'll be honest. The TV is going to be on in the background for the last hour of the show tomorrow, Robbie. We work 4 to 6 Eastern time.
Yes.
Because Virginia Tech starts right at 6.
Wow.
And, I mean, I'll be damned if I'm missing that first, you know, the scenes of Enter Sandman at Lane Stadium. So we'll be good to go. This we're starting off part two. So we've already done 5 games. We have done Kansas, South Dakota, Tulane, Oklahoma, Stanford, Kansas State, West Virginia, Maryland, and Northern Iowa, Iowa State. We are starting off with the main course here. The best game of the day. 3:30 Central on Fox. Number 23, Louisiana. Number 21, Texas. Texas, 8-point favorites. Robbie, this number started at 13.5 points.
Mm-hmm.
It is down to 8. And let me tell you something. ULL is a very good team. Billy Napier, very good coach. Their roster's super talented. They went into Iowa State last year, went into Ames, first game of the year, beat him by 2 scores. Steve Sarkisian's got a really good Texas team, decent roster. I like Steve Sarkisian a lot as a head coach. I think he was the right choice. Texas fans in the YouTube comments have all claimed that I'm an idiot. I've got no clue what's happening here.
That's amazing from Texas fans. Wow.
And that Sark has really played this quarterback situation very well. You and I work with people who don't see it that way. I don't think you and I see it that way. And I want to tell you how I see it. I think Steve Sarkisian, who is known as a quarterback whisperer, right, has not gotten his guy in yet. I think when he said he took this job because of the quarterbacks, I think he was trying to boost their confidence. I think he made the right move in publicly challenging both of his quarterbacks a couple weeks ago. I think neither of the quarterbacks has done anything to go out and win the job. Because even earlier today, I saw Brian Davis of the Austin American Statesman tweeting about this and saying, if Casey Thompson gets hot, he could be left in the game. But Hudson Card's the starter. This quarterback battle has not worked itself out the way he thought it would. I don't think it's worked out the way either guy thought it would or any Texas fans thought it would. And I think the ones that are trying to talk themselves into whatever is happening are just trying to be optimists.
No, I agree with that full heartedly. And the thing that is the most damaging in sports in general, the everything in sports revolves around hope.
Right.
Texas fans have a lot of hope because they see what exactly happened last year with Alabama and Steve Sarkisian's offense. So they're putting a lot of hope to take that and be like, Hudson Card will be fine. Casey Thompson will be fine. These were not highly recruited guys. These were not guys that, you know, are the top 3 5-star type of quarterbacks. I understand that. Steve Sarkisian inherited that. But there's been nothing right there. The point that I have the most trouble with is Steve Sarkisian never said, boy, man, these guys are making it really, really difficult. They're just that good. It's like, you know what? They struggled. you know, one has too many turnovers going on. It's just like, I understand he needs to be critical and push these players to be the best, but there's never been a, oh boy, these guys are that good. It's just that hard of a decision. It's more like, oh, I've got to see which one makes the least amount of mistakes. And that's the point. I feel like if you're a Texas fan, I get you want to be optimist, but that's concerning for me. If you just like are going, he makes the least amount of mistakes, so he should be our starting quarterback. I don't think that's the way you want to operate a team. So yeah, I think the quarterback conversation is concerning, but we could all feel really stupid if Hudson Card comes out against Louisiana and just balls out. And we're like, oh, okay, we should just believe this guy.
And Card plays the whole game, and Sark's like, you dumbasses thought that I didn't know it was going to happen at quarterback.
Yeah.
And sure, he plays us, but here's the thing. We can only go off of what we have heard, and we haven't seen very much. And Chip Brown tells us, Brian Davis tells us, they haven't been able to see a whole lot. And if you're in Sark's position, why would you? Because it sounds like it hasn't been that good, right? So mm-hmm. would you want the media being there being like, this is not really good here? And I understand if people – Sark's a great offensive mind. This is not me disputing any of that. But these aren't his players. And so this is not a situation that he's handpicked. Now, am I going to say his management of it has been the best? No, I think he should pick one of the guys and roll with it. That's what mm-hmm. you and I have kind of been told by the people who used to play the game that we work with. They would have preferred to have a guy good to go playing with them. But I think Sark is trying to make heads and tails of the situation. Look, this is what it's all boiling down to for me. Screw the plus eight. You cannot have any indecision against a team that's this well coached, that's this good. I think Louisiana goes in there. I think they win the game. They get all the receivers. I think they go in there. I think they win this football game, because if you're playing with your food and you're going to play it safe, what do you think ULL's defense is looking for early on? Run. They're looking for the run. They're going to say, whichever quarterback is out there, beat us. We dare you to beat us. They are returning guys at all three levels of their defense, multiple players at all three levels. They're returning guys at wide receiver, at tight end, at all the offensive line spots. And Levi Lewis is one of the best 20 quarterbacks in the entire country. He is not just in the conference, the Sun Belt. He is one of the best 20 quarterbacks in the entire country. Billy Napier is thrilled to have him back. And they are going in there after what happened last year, after coming up, you know, their only loss was in 7 points to a amazing Coastal Carolina team. They're coming in gangbusters. And I think Sark might be feeling conservative, trying to ease one of his quarterbacks into the game. Louisiana's coming in looking for the first punch because they know they can. And that's where I think they will, and that's why I think they win this game. I'll take the points. I'll take ULL, because this entire situation is not working out the way it's supposed to work out.
No, I agree with you in the fact of, like, take the points, and I agree that this is going to be a really tough game. I think you hit the nail on the head. Make him throw. I think that is the right move to do, and also I'm not very sold on Texas's wide receivers right now, so I think that is the best move to do. Josh Moore, Jordan Whittington, Xavier Worthy, who is a freshman, so this is I think
we hear great things about, but we don't know yet, right? We don't know.
Like, it's unproven. Also, Hudson Card, Casey Thompson haven't started. I think that's also lost here. You're in a league where almost every single team has a returning quarterback or a quarterback with some type of experience. Just saying. But the thing that I am looking forward to the most, optimist, why I think Texas is going to win, I don't think they're going to cover, but why I think Texas is going to win, they do have a really, like, veteran defensive group. I think what they're going to hang their hat on this game is this defense, and they have great players. Keandre Colburn, they have Damarion Overshow, they have Brennan Schooler, they have Josh Thompson. They have a lot of good players and a coordinator I really believe in, a Pete Kukowski. So this is a team right now I believe in. I believe in the Texas defense is going to be, for the first couple of games, what they're going to hang their hat on. Will that be enough for Texas to maybe just score just a couple touchdowns against this defense? I hope so. But I think this is going to be a game that's not going to get into the 30s or the 40s. I think this is going to be a low-scoring matchup right here. We're just saying the defense of Louisiana. But I'm going to say that Texas is going to hang their head on the defense for the first couple of games, because nothing on their offense besides Bijan Robinson. Also, can we just say, like, their offensive line is just not that great. Derek Kerstetter is, like, the one they all are like, oh, we have him back. I don't think he's very high rated. You know, he's not going in the NFL draft in the first three rounds. I don't think he's the type of important player that like everyone is coveting. Like, oh, he's amazing. I don't even think he's high rated in a lot of places. And he's also coming back from injury
too. You just lost Sam Cosmi. You know, you're trying to replace stuff on that offensive line. And look, I think Bijan Robinson's in an awful situation because guess what just happened? He had a coach who grossly mismanaged him. What does he have at quarterback? Nothing stable. And also, what are defenses looking to do? Take him out of the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what teams – so it's almost like – I mean, how the hell is this guy supposed to be successful when everything is pointing towards it not working? Now, I think he's going to have a – like, here's the thing. I'm really worried that his numbers won't be good and people will be like, oh, what's wrong with Bijan Robinson? It's like, how is he supposed to do well when mm-hmm. everything is pointing towards teams saying, yeah, we'll take him out. Everybody else can beat us. We'll take our – and I think also Roschon Johnson too, because I think he's really good. Both mm-hmm. those guys together are a great 1-2 punch. My focus is, hey, we're going to make Cardin Thompson beat us with the guys that you mentioned at wideout, and I feel bad for the backs.
Yeah, no, I feel very bad for the backs. And I do love watching Bijan Robinson play. I think we can all agree should have played more last year. But that's in the past. I'm tired of hearing that narrative as soon as they play. I'm tired of hearing that.
Yeah, right.
But he is an excellent player, and I feel like what he can do on the field, I don't know if we're going to see his full capabilities in week one. I think that's the point. They're against a good defense. They're like quarterbacks who haven't started. I think we all have high expectations for week one or for Bijan Robinson, but I don't think we're going to see those at full level on week one.
I think the plan for them is on both sides of the ball, try to wear down Louisiana, right? Try to use your more athletic, bigger players on both lines, right? I know, and we'll see if that offensive line can get that push. That remains to be seen, but I think on defense, they're going to try to wear down that offensive line. But here's the thing. If Louisiana throws that first punch, they can get ahead and potentially stay ahead. That's where it becomes an issue, I think, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think, too, that we're going to see that is going to be because Steve Sarkisian, we're going back to the quarterback saying, like, when is he going to play which one or when is he going to pull one out? I think that's going to be if Hudson Card starts off bad and Casey Thompson's in and he's bad, what do you do? Because then you're just like, right. Like that office, like snip, snap, snip, snap. Like, it's just like, what exactly is happening here? And I think that's going to be really interesting to play. If Hudson Card is going off great, I don't think Casey Thompson is going to be in, but I'm interested to see how he's going to handle that.
All right, we're going to move on to the next game here. It is 6 o'clock Central Time on ESPN, which, you know, great. It's on ESPN. I think the people's attention will be on this game for roughly like maybe 30 minutes, if possible. Obviously, other games coming up, but it is Texas Tech and Houston. This is a huge game. This is kind of almost like Kansas State and Stanford. This is a big game for both programs, and it's almost like Kansas State and Stanford, but even bigger because Dana Holgorsen has got major questions to answer at Houston, as does Matt Wells at Texas Tech. You see the line there reflected from our friends at betonline.ag. 1-point spread, Robbie. Houston's getting one at home in NRG Stadium. I like Texas Tech in this game. I think the offense comes out gangbusters. I think they come out looking to spread the ball all around the field. Your guy, Sir Roderick Thompson's going to be involved. Eric Uzakama. I think they're going to be, after last year's kind of quarterback, not debacle, but carousel, I guess you could say, they're eager to show, put on full display that offense is not to be trifled with this year. It's going to be Tyler Shuck. It's going to be arm strength. It's going to be air raid. It's going to be spreading the ball to every single part of the field. I think they win this game. I think they do it with their offense. And I think it's kind of getting back to Texas Tech's old roots because that's the only path, I believe, this year to getting to 6 wins.
Yeah, this is – if we were to power rank the opening games for the Big 12 this weekend, I have this as my number 2 game because mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of pressure on Matt Wells this season. And I think if you're a Texas Tech fan, however this outcome goes, that's where your belief of this year goes. If this team wins, I'm full aboard. If they lose this opener against Houston, a team that I think, you know, Texas Tech should be better than Houston. They should be better than Houston. If you lose that, I feel like the total interest comes out of Lubbock. I don't think they care that much about it. One thing I am worried about in this game, Matt Wells at his press conference said that Sir Roderick Thompson is a game time decision for Saturday's game and is trending towards the right direction, but it's a game time decision. I think that offense goes around what he does. I think he is an excellent at running the football, and also the way he can catch out of the backfield is important for them. And I am also extremely excited to see Tyler Shuck. I don't know why he left Oregon. I think he was good for them. If you watch highlights of him, I feel like he's perfect for what system that Matt Wells and Sonny Cumbie are trying to run there in Texas Tech. And also, they have a good defense. I don't think they're what they have up front is too great, but they have a great linebacking core with Texas Tech. This is a game I'm looking forward to, even though that it's during Clemson and Georgia. Why
have to do this to us?
I don't know, but I'm excited for this game.
Yeah, when you think of air raid principles, right, you think of somebody who can spread the ball like all over the field, right? A guy like it. I know Gardner Minshew doesn't do it with maybe the most velocity, right, or Luke Falk, right? But somebody and who can get the ball all over the field, he can do that to the next level because he has got the strength. He is a big, big dude. If he's anything, he is big. Yeah, I think last year, you know, Mario Cristobal is about so much about winning, right, and they want to win so badly at Oregon immediately. Tyler Shuck is somebody that's going to need to develop, and he'll get plenty of reps this year to actually do that. And you and I have been questioning all offseason why his odds to be the number one pick are so high. But maybe this is why, right? Maybe Vegas and maybe some of the NFL people see what we don't see, right? See the fact that, hey, he's a gem that, if refined through repetition, can be a guy that you know, makes the next level. I think they do display it. I think your point about Sir Roderick Thompson is spot on, because people always talk about the running back in air raid. Why would you want to play running back? Well, if you're a guy like him, and I actually think that he almost is like, he's like Marcus Garrett, right? Or no, not Marcus Garrett. I'm trying to, who's the wing player for Texas, for Kansas last year?
Totally. Kevin Wilson?
Nope. 3-point shooter.
Christian Osha. Brown. Oh, okay. Baji.
Yeah. Osha. Yeah. Like, he projects better as a NBA player as he does, you know, the college player. He's a 3-and-D guy. I think Sir Roderick Thompson is kind of the same way. He's a pass-catching running back who's a great guy on third downs. That works the next level. I think he's going to project well at the next level. I'm the same way. An air raid, that actually works out really well for him. So I'm excited to see. But I'm taking Texas Tech. I'll give the 1 point. This is such a big game for them. I think they go out and win.
Yeah, I'm going Texas Tech, too. It is in NRG Stadium, so that might help Houston out a little bit, but I am excited for this Texas Tech season. I'm high in this team this year. I think they're going to be a bowl team. I think Matt Wells is going to keep his job to the next year. Let's hope so. But this is a team, I feel like everything that Matt Wells is working for the last 3 years are finally reaching this type of like peak. You have the good quarterback. You have the good running back. You have a good offensive line. You have the best defense that you have. You have your best wide receivers that you have. You have everything that is your best of this year. You need to prove it in this game one, or else you're going to lose all the fan interest. So Texas Tech, Matt Wells, get it done.
All right, we're moving on now. But before we do, a word from our sponsors. Robbie, I'm sure you just heard about Built Bar, right, through the BYU story. Is it the first
Absolutely.
Time you heard about it? Well, Built Bar, my friend, the best protein bar in the game today. They've got 9 delicious flavors, coconut, cherry bar, chia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, and German chocolate. 17 to 18 grams of protein. Calorie ranges from 130 to 180. 4 to 5 grams of sugar and only 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. And also the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team, which is pretty cool. Go to built.com. That's built.com. Use the promo code LOCKED15. That's LOCKED15. LOCKED15 for 15% off today. That's LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Used to be BuiltBar.com. Now it's just Built. They shortened it up for you. All right, so we have a slew of kind of bargain bin games here in the later time slot. 6 Central on ESPN+. The Missouri State Bears are going to go up and play against Oklahoma State. Look, I think this is a game where Mike Gundy, you've talked a lot about Spencer Sanders. Let him sling it around some. Show me some of that stuff you were talking about in the offseason. Also, a great spot for him to build some chemistry with the wide receivers, kind of not a newer set, but new wide receivers.
Yep. this is a game I am just purely looking at Spencer Sanders. Oklahoma State's going to win this football game. If not,
State's not good.
These next three games, if Oklahoma State, Baylor, or TCU loses, that is very worrisome because you're Missouri State, Texas State. I don't even want to say the last name. Duquesne. That's how much I know about them. Duquesne. It's like a Key and Peele skit. Duquesne. Yeah. So this game here, I'm just looking. Is Mike Gundy just right about what he's been saying about Spencer Sanders? I think you hit it on the nail here. And also, what exactly weapons are we looking forward to? Tylan Wallace is gone. Chuba Hubbard is gone. Who are we looking at? I like Brennan Presley. I like LD Brown in the backfield. There's a lot of weapons right there that I feel like this is going to be where we're actually going to be like, oh, okay, this is someone I need to look forward to. So this is a game, you know, Oklahoma State's been hiding in the weeds this offseason. We're high in them. We're not high in them. This is a game. It's like, oh, okay, I can actually see what you got, Mike Gundy.
I'm with you on that. No line for it with our friends at betonline.ag. It kind of just shows you the disparagement between the two.
And it's on ESPN Plus, so.
Yes. Another game on ESPN Plus. This one's a little bit more interesting. Baylor at Texas State. 13.5-point favorites are the Baylor Bears. Now, I was kind of skeptical of Baylor on the road at first, but here, Robbie, I've been doing some thinking, I've been doing some listening, been doing some reading. Jake Spavital has built a team with one high school recruit. He is going the transfer route, which screams desperately of, please get me the hell out of here. Let's see if we can have one good season. Let's see if I can get myself out of here. I like that for Baylor. We love it for the introspective Dave Aranda. Gary Bohannon's quarterback. I think that's because almost to the, this is like the Texas decision, but like the right move because he can trust him and he's been there for a while. Maybe he hasn't played a lot, but he can trust him, protects the football. I want to see how the offensive line looks because, to me, everything, all of Baylor's struggles last year started with the offensive line, right? Think about guys like Tristan Ebner. Not great, you know, in the carrying stats, yards per carry. Why? The offensive line sucked. Put him in bad spots. And you know, I talked about it. Brewer had to make a lot of plays last year on his own. I'm looking at the line. Can they establish the run? Can Bohannon take care of the football? If they do, that defense is awesome, and they'll be able to, I think, to win this game by more than two scores.
Yep, I'm high on Jerry Bohannon as their starting quarterback. I don't think they have a great room to begin with, but I'm high on him. I feel like he can run if need to. I was watching the Big 12 championship game when they played Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he was a little bit dinged up in that, but he had some good plays. He had some good throws. The thing that sold me, he had this clip this week talking about how Dave Aranda kept seeing him at the coffee machine at 6 a.m. That is unbelievable. I want that type of guy. I don't even know if he can throw a football. If he can go to the coffee machine at 6 a.m., I love that mood. Besides that, we were talking to Dave Aranda at Big 12 Media Day, and he was talking last year about his offense, and obviously that Lara Fedora offense did not work. But he said, we had to ask our coaching staff, how can we run if we cannot block the ball? That was a conversation that they had. I think that's difficult to run the football if you cannot block, but it's just funny that he was so open about it. How can we run if we cannot block? I feel like this year is definitely a much improved unit. I'm excited to see what that Jeff Grimes offense looks like in game one. Have they taken some of that principles already and they're going to put to use? They have Tristan Ebner. They have RJ Snead. They have Tyquan Thornton. They have the weapons. The thing I'm looking forward to, I want to see Apu Ika play. He is their nose tackle for Baylor. He is this massive human being from LSU. They have a good defense. I'm picking Baylor to win this game. I'm excited to watch that defense because I feel like Dave Aranda finally has the toys he needs to play with. He finally has the people because he's been heralded as this amazing defensive coordinator. He finally has those pieces that he can use with. I'm excited to see that, and I'm excited to see what exactly this offense does look like because, once again, I'm high on Baylor. If you listen to the last episode, I'm high on this team. I'm high. I think they're a bowl game.
You like the Baylor Bears a lot.
I love the Baylor Bears. This is a sneaky, I think, number five, number six team in this conference. I don't think they're going to crack the top three, but I think in terms of the overall improvement, I don't think there's going to a team that is going to make a bigger jump from last year to this year. It is the Baylor Bears.
All right, the last team we've talked about, it's TCU and Duquesne from Pittsburgh. I had no – and look, I don't want to demean anybody because you and I talk about this. College football matters across this great country. It matters every team you like. I was not aware Duquesne had a football team. I know they have a basketball team. A couple years ago, they were pretty good in the Atlantic 10, I believe, is what they play in for basketball. So credit to that team a few years ago. But Duquesne at TCU, 7 Central, ESPN+. Zach Evans suspended for a few series. What's weird is, I forgot this other day until Stephen Simcox, our Locked On Horned Frogs host, reminded me. He was the guy who was supposed to go to Georgia, but had that weird cell phone incident, right?
Yep. Yep.
I forget about that. But I looked up him, Kendre Miller, last year, 50-plus carries, both those guys over 7 yards per carry. I want to see TCU rely on those guys more in the rushing game. So I don't have to see the Max Duggan 9-for-21, 150-yard rushing game. Where right. It's like, you know, ugly stats. I want to see him become more of a quarterback. Let these two guys handle the ball. Sure, Max Duggan integrated in the rushing game. But we don't need Max Duggan taking 12, 15, 18 carries.
Nope, I agree. I feel like we need to see Max Duggan more as a pocket passer this year. I don't know anything about Duquesne. Obviously, I'm saying their name wrong just because it's a joke at this point. But what I'm looking for this game, I want to see Zach Evans just get a bunch of touches. He is their RB1. I am very concerned about his character issues because obviously this is not just like a one-time thing why he's being suspended for part of this game. This is just a track record with Zach Evans through his collegiate career so far. So I want him to see and actually be on the field because he has the talent. But I'm excited to see Max Duggan this year. I'm excited to see Quentin Johnson. I'm excited to watch those players. I don't really know what much to take else from this game besides just to see those players actually work because I know nothing about this team. I think TCU is going to roll them. This is a game that, you know, I think is on the bottom of my watchability rankings. Obviously,
it is
7 Central on ESPN+.
Not the coveted time slot.
No. Holly Rowe is not reporting on that game. Sean McDonough, Chris Fowler not calling that game.
Not there. Where it's happening.
Nope, but I'm looking forward to this offense this year. If I were to just talk about TCU beyond this game, I think they're in my top 4 in the Big 12. I'm really high on this team, and I think Max Duggan is going to emerge as a top 3 quarterback in this league. I think he is. I think he has pro potential.
I'm not on that page with you, but I do appreciate your confidence. Everybody's always entitled to their own opinion. Yeah. All right, before we get to our Saturday 7. One word from our friends at betonline.ag. Sure, they didn't have lines for Duquesne TCU, but actually, who would? Let's be honest about that. Betonline.ag, my friends, they've got your NFL Super Contest, Mega Contest, as they call it. Also, they've got a $200,000 NFL Survivor Pool, MLB, NBA, NHL, Formula One, Boxing, UFC, whatever it is you want to bet on, they've got it. Bet Online, it's free. You can sign up today. You can use your iPhone. You can use your iPad. If you have an iPod Touch, Robbie, that's still got some Wi-Fi connection,
yes.
You can probably use that to sign up as long as you're 21 years old. You can use your computer too, betonline.ag. Use that promo code, Locked On. That's LOCKEDON, Locked On. You'll get a deposit bonus as well. BetOnline, my friends, they're your online sportsbook experts. And speaking of BetOnline, our lines for our Saturday 7 are from betonline.ag. Now, Robbie, Saturday 7, here's how it works. This is a thing that I've carried on from during I had a radio show at the University of Missouri. It is the 7 games outside of this conference that I have deemed the most impactful from this week. If you don't agree with me, it's totally fine. Actually, let me know because it'd be fun banter. But we go in scheduling order. And also this week, because it's the first week of the season, it's not really the Saturday 7 because all the games take place on different days. So the first game, 5 p.m. Central Time on ESPN. Tomorrow night, it's number 10 UNC at Virginia Tech. I am legally bound to take the Hokies plus the 5.5. I wouldn't, though, because every home game they have, it's big. It feels like they end up losing by at least 2 scores. So I would tell you UNC here. But the argument for Tech, Robbie, is the fact that UNC has lost over 2,000 yards of rushing and like 20-plus touchdowns, and the same thing in receiving, right? Because they had a lot of guys go to the NFL. So I think there's an argument for Tech here is that if you're going to catch UNC at some point this season, this is the time to do it.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch this game too. I think North Carolina is a team that, you know, is highly ranked, top 10 team. I'm excited to see Sam Howell play. I'm excited to see an actual threat to Clemson. Is that actually going to happen? I don't know, but I think North Carolina has been seen as that team to actually contend against Clemson, if that is the word you want to use, contend. Maybe just, I don't know, punch at, poke at Clemson. But this is a game I think a good reason to. Sell me on Virginia Tech and sell me on their head coach, because I would not say I'm a Virginia Tech believer.
So you are Justin Fuente. I think he wasn't hired. I think he wasn't fired because it was a COVID year, and I'm not sure the money was there at the time. I think it will be this offseason. It feels like it's kind of this is it. This is probably it for them.
Got it.
Also, their tough schedule. So if there's any time that he wants to make his case, right? They've got this game here.
It's a really tough opener.
They're in Morgantown in the third week of the season. So yeah, they got plenty on the line here for them. All right, we'll move on. Number two game, 11 a.m. on Fox, Penn State, Wisconsin. I love it. You know what's great, Robbie? The 9-game conference schedule. And who started that? The Big 12.
Yes.
It's great? Because guess what? In week one, you'll get meaningful, even week zero, you'll get meaningful conference games like we got last week, Nebraska, Illinois. This one, Penn State at Wisconsin. Wisconsin 5.5-point home favorites because they have the Camp Randall advantage. Here's the thing, Robbie. I'm so excited to see a Wisconsin offense that's not just run, play, you know, maybe right. Run again on third down, you know, whenever. Graham Mertz thinks he's the real deal, Holyfield. I think he might be the real deal, Holyfield. I'm excited to see them with maybe a more diverse offensive attack.
Yep. So Penn State last year, I would not say had a great year, but that's a 2020 year. I don't know how much credit I'm going to give to that. I'm going to say that to the teams I believe in, but it's like, oh, you know, it was a tough year, but the teams that I want to think stink, I'm going to be like, oh, but whatever. So this is Wisconsin's a team I believe in this year. I think they're not a legitimate threat to Ohio State, but I feel like they're a team in the Big Ten West that could actually, you know, contend and make that game eventful. So I'm looking for Wisconsin to win this as well. Give me the points.
Yeah, I think it's close, but I'll take Scotty in this game. This one, you don't have to sell this game. I know it's a 20-point spread, 19.5 here, but 230 on ABC. The preseason best team, we'll put in, you know, just for selling purposes, the best team in the country versus maybe the most exciting player in the country in De'Aaron King. I'm going to take the 19.5 here, and maybe if you give me I might put this in a two-team teaser, maybe with Wisconsin. If I can do a four-point tease, get that line from Wisconsin down to 1.5, maybe up this line for Miami to 23, 24.5. I'm going to take Miami plus the points because there's so many questions for Alabama moving the season. But, I mean, this game, I'm still excited to watch. De'Aaron King versus Alabama's defense, which should be awesome this season.
So here's a stat that may make you change your point. Ooh, here.
Yes,
our good friend Stuart.
Save me money, please.
Our good friend Stuart Mandel, he wrote about this game making his locks for the week. This is a neutral site game. Mm-hmm. The last 10 neutral site games, Alabama is 9-1 against the spread. 9-1 against the spread.
I have changed my mind. I am not going to take Miami.
So they don't win. They dominate in these type of games right now. Dominate. So I'm going to take Alabama in these points. 9-1 against the spread, neutral site games. What a crazy statistic.
Was the last one the Clemson game, I guess, probably, right? That's a neutral site game. That was probably the Clemson Nash Championship game they lost.
Right. Oh, openers. Neutral site openers.
Oh, neutral site openers. Okay.
Openers. So yes, 9-1 on neutral site openers. Wow. With a 25-point average margin. 25 points. That spread is 19.5.
If it was 20, I get a 6-point tease. I'd push 26 and I'd cash it then. But no, on this one, you might.
But I'm excited to watch Miami. I think Miami is a better team than I think most of the teams they open their. So, you know, I'm excited to see Miami play. I will never doubt against Nick Saban, Alabama, ever.
The big question always for Florida-based ACC teams, can you block anybody? Miami and Florida State, their offensive lines have been horrible. I think Miami's a bit higher on that, but we'll see in this game. Number four, 230, the Big Ten Network. Bet your ass on BTN. Indiana, Iowa. This feels like the game that I watched last year, Indiana versus Penn State, except it's different teams. Can we? Michael Penix is back from the injury. Indiana, Robbie, just the Big Ten version of Iowa State, right? Reached great heights last season, and oh my God, we're all back to do it again. Let's see what happens here. And Michael Penix actually is pretty young too, relatively speaking. I'm pretty sure he's younger for as far as these quarterbacks go. Iowa is Iowa.
They're consistent all the time.
Yeah, I'm kind of in on Iowa here, -3 at home to set up what is a mega matchup next week between Iowa State and Iowa.
If you're an Iowa State fan, you want Indiana to beat the hell out of Iowa. If you're a Big 12 fan outside of Ames, you want Iowa to win because I want that game next week to be awesome. I want that game.
If you're an Iowa State fan, maybe you want Iowa to win because next week it just helps build and makes that exercising of the demons almost like another notch in the belt saying,
yeah,
we're arrived.
Oh, we got to go.
Yeah. Yeah. So I could see it from both sides.
Yep. I'm going to take Iowa on this end. I'm not the biggest believer in Indiana. I feel like last year was just like some really good things happen. I'm not a true believer of this team as well when these teams actually have full power. I believe in the rest of the Big Ten this year besides Indiana. So I'm not giving them the stock. I've been watching Indiana my whole life as a Michigan State fan. I could say the same thing about Iowa State. They haven't been good, but Tom Allen's a good coach, but I'm never going to believe Indiana in the full stage with a full year. I'm just not.
The big one, number 5 of our game slate, but this is the big one. 6:30, ABC, Georgia, Clemson. You know, the discourse around this game has been interesting. The idea of, is this a
It's just me.
Oh, we're back. We're going to switch. There it is. All right.
I was dancing. I was like, oh, whoa. Yeah.
Hold on, let me see if I have you back. Hold on. Can you see me? Am I moving for you?
Yeah, I got you.
Hold on, you're stuck from me. I was recording with that. All right, we're just going to roll. The discourse here is it a must win for these teams? And I think the way you frame it is this. Look, does the Big 12 champion make it? Yes. Does the Big 10 champion make it? Yes. Does the SEC champion make it? Yes. So in this situation, if Georgia loses, to me, they have to win the SEC. They have to win the 100%. SEC to make it. And do you want to bet on that? I mean, I think I'd bet on them to get out of the East. So it gives them a shot. Clemson, you know, they don't have to actually. I think more pressure's on Georgia because for them, you know, the heat would be on for them. Clemson, you could argue the heat is on for them in the sense of they like to mess up sometimes. They like to, you know, mess around against Boston College or an NC State or a Pitt, right? We saw them last year against Boston College. They're down like 18 points at one point in the game. So I do think this game matters. I really do. I'm rolling with Georgia. I know they're injured. I know they're banged up. Kirby Smart's really confident in this team. I am too. I think this offense, if I had a preseason ranked teams, number 1 is Oklahoma, number 2 is Georgia, in my opinion. I'm going with Georgia plus the points. Neutral site, but let's be honest, there'll be Clemson fans there. It's going to be a majority Georgia fans. That's what they do. They take over stadiums like nobody else.
Yeah, this is a game here. You hit the nail on the head. I think this is an important not. People say, like, oh, if they lose, they'll still be fine. I think, like, Clemson loses, they have an easier like rest of their schedule for the end of the year. I feel like this is an absolute must win for Georgia because if they lose this, and if they lose any other game in the SEC, I think it's hard to be like, oh, let's put them in the college football playoff. Obviously they can be like, whoa, it was week one, you know, everyone in that whatever committee room is going to, whoa, it was week one. This is a game I think is a must win for Georgia. And I'm not going with Georgia here. Everyone seems to have Georgia as their darling to win the SEC this year. I understand they return a lot of talent and they have the quarterback. I'm not going to bet against Clemson. I'm not going to bet against their quarterback. I think this is a team in Clemson I'm just never going to bet against. And Georgia and Kirby Smart had a couple years where, yes, but this is not that year. I'm team Clemson. I'm team taking the points. I think number 3 Clemson is going to beat Georgia. And I think that you're going to see a lot of upset Georgia fans and a lot of upset pundits in college football who are going to be like, damn it, why did I pick them to win the SEC?
I'll never cry for upset Georgia fans. I like that. That's fine. That's fine with me. Number 6, This is the this is the spiciest game of the week. I'm not going to lie, everybody. So 7:30 on Fox, LSU, UCLA. Nobody will be watching this game. Absolutely nobody. But and people have been saying, well, UCLA will not face the caliber of athlete that LSU has. UCLA last week put it on Hawaii. No, that's not a good team. And DTR played like dog, you know what.
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking UCLA. UCLA is plus three, excuse me. Line's wrong here. In my mind, I was thinking UCLA. I'm taking UCLA. I'm taking the points.
What?
At home. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, obviously, Max Johnson's going to be the quarterback for LSU. That was not the desired outcome of the offseason. DTR, I have confidence in. Chip Kelly, Zach Charbonnet, their defense, they look mean and ready to go next week. Last week, I think I'm taking UCLA because their defense looked mean and snappy. Give me the Bruins. Give me the points. It will be a decent home atmosphere. I know you were knocking it yesterday, Ryan. It will be. Well, let's go. Give me the points. Give me the home team.
You are sipping that Chip Kelly Kool. You're sipping that Chip Kelly Kool-Aid. My God.
I want it to happen. I want it to happen.
Based on principle, I can never say that a Pac-12 team is better than the SEC. Just based on principle, I'm going LSU here. I cannot and full heartedly believe that I hate the Pac-12. I'm just going to say I hate the Pac-12 as a Big 12 person. It's like, oh, you guys, Spider-Man meme. Ha, ha, ha. No, F you. I'm going LSU here. I'm going LSU. There's no way this team against Hawaii is going to have that much impact on me. I'm going LSU. Just based on the brand and SEC, there's a different type of beast at LSU than at UCLA.
Last one. I'm going another home team plus the points here. 6:30 on ABC, Notre Dame at Florida State. I would take Notre Dame here, but here's the problem, Robbie. Jack Cohn is playing quarterback for them. I've watched enough Jack Cohn to know he's not good. He's never been good. And so you're giving me 7.5. And Kyle Hamilton, I'll get this out here. Kyle Hamilton, safety for Notre Dame, is my favorite player in college football. Absolutely. Wow. From the moment that I've laid eyes on him, I've said that guy needs to be a member of the Washington football team. If he goes, I don't buy jerseys. I don't. Whatever pro team he goes to, he'll be getting, I will purchase a jersey of his. I will not wear it. I'll hang it up somewhere to be like, hey, I told you guys from the beginning, he'd be a Hall of Famer. This guy is unbelievable. He covers ground like nobody's business, pass coverage, run coverage, whatever it is. He is excellent. Jack Cohn, though, like I'm, you give me Jack Cohn, and you give me another team plus points at home. I don't love this FSU team, but I like him enough to take him plus 7.5 against Jack Cohn and Notre Dame.
Yeah, I'm gonna root for Florida State just because the fact that Mackenzie Milton is on their football team. Mm-hmm. Will it be him? Yes. Will it be Jordan Travis, the quarterback? We don't know yet. But I'm gonna give them. I don't think they're gonna win. I believe in Notre Dame no matter what. Brian Kelly, known fact, was the head coach of my alma mater, Grand Valley State, who brought us our first Division II championship in the early 2000s. I will ride for him forever because of that one reason. But I'm picking Notre Dame to win. I'm picking Florida State to get the points. Mackenzie Milton, baby. I want to see that guy in action. He was electric. Electric during those seasons at UCF. So
I'm excited. The recovery. We're all in the recovery, the comeback, the redemption. We love it. All right, Robbie. I have your Twitter up there, but tell us what people, where to find you, what kind of content of yours do you want them to absorb?
Big 12 today, SiriusXM channel 375. Josh and I are behind the wheel out here dishing it with Gabe Eichard, Dusty Dvorak, Chris Plank up front leading the show. Tune into that at the Triano Kid if you just want to see random thoughts in my brain.
Awesome. Robbie, appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Have a good one.